Hello everyone, welcome to Next Generation Saints. I'm your host, Nick Coons. Before we get started today, I want to go remind everyone to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you may be listening to podcasts. It helps get into the algorithm so more people get to hear the Word of God. Now, the other day, I got a chance to listen to the President of the United States, Joe Biden's, State of Union Address. And I was actually less interested, to be honest with you. I've had so many more things going on in my life, and maybe you were too, that I didn't really pay attention to it. But I did actually stop at the end of the night to go ahead and listen to what Joe Biden said about the State of the Union. And there was a lot of stuff he covered, and I'm not going to really cover a whole lot. I'm just going to cover something very small. And it came down to Joe Biden and the Democrats want to bring back Roe versus Wade. Now, you may not remember exactly what Roe versus Wade is, and Roe versus Wade was basically abortion. Should a woman have a constitutional right to murder the baby in the womb? Now, I know that abortion is a hot topic, and nowadays it is very much about, are you pro-choice or pro-life? And let me break that down even further for you. Pro-choice people believe that it is up to a woman to decide what she does with her baby, whether she has an abortion or not. They believe that they'll say it's her body, the woman's body, their choice. The problem with the pro-choice movement is they neglect the life within their womb. They believe that the fetus, which is a Latin word meaning small child inside the womb, is nothing more than a type of tumor. They have made very disgusting terminology for fetuses, like it's just like a leech that's onto you, it's a spare piece of skin. Since it can't live like how we live, right, where we can think for ourselves and whatnot, breathe and act autonomously outside of our mother, they don't deserve life. So when the argument comes down to it, they believe human value is very subjective. It's a very argumentative thing. They believe that life doesn't begin, as pro-choicers put, pro-life people put it. Pro-life is that they believe that the life begins at conception when the sperm and the egg meet, new life is formed. The pro-choice believe that that is not a life until it comes out of the mother's loins, until it comes out of the woman's vagina and, you know, the baby is breathing and whatnot. But Democrats even pushed even further. These leftists have pushed it really far, where they believe that that's still extremely subjective here. In New York, when Governor Andrew Cuomo was in office, they signed a bill saying we have post-birth abortions. What's a post-birth abortion? Well, it means when the baby comes out and is kicking and screaming, the mother still has a choice whether she wants that child to live or die. It's outside of the body. It's obviously alive. It's screaming. It's kicking. It's alive. Has a heartbeat, brain activity, pulse, everything. And they are still saying that's not good enough. That the woman now gets to choose, shall we just leave the baby there on the table to let the elements kill it? Don't feed it. Don't provide medical care that it needs at that moment. Don't provide anything for it. Just leave it there to die. Or, as another attorney over in New York pointed out, should we just cut their head off? Amputate the head off and kill the baby and we'll just call it an abortion. So realistically, this abortion is turning satanic more and more, where the abortion ideas of pro-choice movement has really dehumanized human beings and saying your your value as a human being is really determined by somebody else. Your mom gets to decide whether or not you live or die. And I remember one extreme choice, I think it was in the East Coast in another Democrat city, I forget which, it was a while back, they were talking about should a mother be able to have an abortion up to the age of 18, which would mean you would give birth to the child, you would raise the child, but then if you don't want the child anymore and you just kind of figured it's draining my life away, I don't want to deal with it, they have an abortion. And I forget where I read this about, but that was actually a decision that was being made. So the pro-choice movement is, again, about the woman has a choice, she can make a free decision, it's her body, her choice, and we neglect the humanity of that child. We neglect that the child is a homo sapien, is a human being that's in the process of development. Now, pro-lifers believe, and I'm a pro-lifer, is that life begins at conception. When the sperm meets the egg, it is life. The reason I believe that at this point we have no authority to take away this human life is because this is now a life that was created in the image of God, and that we do not have authority to take it. Now, I know this would pose questions like, well, we go to war and we kill people in war, and Christians have been known to go into war and have had to kill people before. What makes this uniquely different? Well, the reason being is this. When you have a baby, they're an innocent child. They have nothing to do with anything. They're not doing something horribly bad. They're not doing any of those things. They need to be protected. They are created that image of God. Now, if you have to stop someone and death has to come, I would argue it's because you're preventing the innocent from being slaughtered. If someone is going in with an AR-15 to go blow people away or brought out a knife to slit people's throats and just loves killing, I agree that we need to stop this person, and if it means up to and including killing this person to stop them, that is acceptable. But we'd have to look at everything. We would have to be careful in how we go about doing things and be in prayerful consideration of our choices at the time. So, you can see what I mean. There's innocence in it. So, when I see pro-life, pro-choicers arguing and debating over it, what I really kind of come to conclusion of is this, is that I've seen this before in history, where humanity has basically determined the value of a human being based on a sociological preference. Whether it be the Soviet Union that determined your value based on your social class, Adolf Hitler that determined your, and the Nazis determined a lot of your value based upon your race. Were you an Aryan race? Were you blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white? You know, how tall were you? What gender were you? Did you have any physical or mental deformities? There's a lot of things going on there. And like, if you look at Mao Zedong, over at China, it was, do you agree with the communism? Do you agree with the Marxism? Do you agree with the ruling class? And if you don't agree with them and you were a capitalist or you had private property, you had to plead insanity to everyone. I'm insane. I've lost my mind. And then beg for their forgiveness and they most likely have you killed. So the subjective judgment that humans can put when we take God out of the equation, say, objectively, humans have no value. It is determined by our societal standards. That leads to the absolute genocide of the 20th century. That is a lesson I have learned from this. Now, going back to the president's speech in the State of the Union, one of the things he brought up was that he wanted to bring in reproductive rights. Now, why do I say these things? Why do I talk about reproductive rights? Well, the interesting thing is, the devil comes in, and he's well known for taking something that's very bad and packaging it differently so it sounds better than what it is. In Germany, it was the final solution, the final Jewish solution. They were trying to cleanse the races, right? They used the idea of a type of sociological Darwinism, which was, you know, only the weak need to go away, the strong need to survive. We have limited resources here on Earth, even in Germany, Germany and on Earth, that we need to basically get the weak people that will never succeed, have physical and mental deformities, destroy them, rid them of this world, and that's how that the Aryan race or the superior race can ultimately succeed. And so now what we're seeing on top of that is where they say reproductive rights. Well, a reproductive right, according to, is really infant genocide, repackaged to make it sound good. That's what Satan does. The next little part of this I wanted to bring up was right after he talked about reproductive rights was this infant genocide. He then brought up about, he said, my God. And I stopped right there for a moment. And I was like, okay, this, I know for most people, this would be like, well, why are you stopping right there? He's saying, my God, like a Christian would. Actually, no, he's not referring to the God Yahweh, which is the God of the Bible. Yahweh in the Hebrew, meaning the creator. He's actually referring to the demon god Moloch. Now, Moloch in the Bible, in the Old Testament, was actually the satanic god of infant genocide. They would take babies like the Babylonians and the Canaanites, would take infants from their mother, and they would cut them out, and then they would, while they were still breathing and stuff, and still like just getting all the liquids off of the mother, because, you know, the stuff comes out of the mom, after the birth, they would take the umbilical cords, cut it, and then they would take this bronze statue of Moloch and heat it up so it was glowing red hot. And then they would take these infants and put it on the palms of Moloch, because that's what you'd see. You'd see a, I'll try to give a rather graphic description here. Moloch, the god, would be sitting there, it made of bronze, and it would have its hands out, and it looked like you could put something into the hands. And that it would have a, they would put a fire underneath Moloch, light it, and then it would, as I said, it would heat up the it would heat up the metal, make it really red hot. And then they put these infants that were just born literally seconds ago, cut the umbilical cords and put them onto there. And they would play the drums excruciatingly loud so the mothers couldn't hear their babies screaming to death as they were burned up. And then they would roll off the hands of Moloch willingly into the flames so they could just die because they were in such agony. So when Biden says, "My God, what would do this?" he's not referring to Yahweh, because Yahweh is against abortion. He's very clear in the Bible. He is against abortion. He's against infant genocide. This is infant sacrifice. This is worshiping the god, the satanic god Moloch. That's who Joe Biden is referring to, because there's no way that he's referring to Yahweh when he's talking about murdering infants in the womb. Now, the last but not least thing I want to bring up here in the State of the Union address is after he declared this and said that they are going to, after he talks to justices and basically in essence said, these women are going to come forward and they're going to vote to bring back Roe versus Wade so they can have the ability to murder their children. You know, as I said, he cleverly uses phrases like reproductive rights and ability to choose, you know, all these good things that Satan puts into his mouth that he says, because that political party, a lot of it is very demonic. So the last one little part I saw in there was when he stated this, men and women on the Democratic side all stood up and began to cheer like it was the greatest thing they have ever heard. And this reminds me, and I'm going to pull it up here really quick. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do the very things, but also approve of those who practice them. These are evil things. Paul is addressing in Romans about how these people are doing evil and wicked things in God's eyes. And it's not just we're doing them in quiet and trying to hide them in the shadows. It's now about we are going to not only do them publicly, but we're going to cheer those who do evil and very publicly. We're going to prove of their wickedness. We're going to prove of how, you know, of infant genocide. We're going to prove the infant sacrificing to Moloch. We're approving of it. And I've come to house a lot of people who've all really said to me, who are really grounded mostly in the political left, is they'll say, we need to get the Bible out of politics. And it's unfortunate that I've seen a lot of Christian churches practicing this as well, where it's like, we're not going to really address political issues. We're not going to get into this. And to a large extent, I understand where they're coming from. But I also look and say, we need to, as a government, we as a governing body for our United States, even though we shouldn't have the church, like the Roman Catholic Church, how it was back in the day, who was corrupted by power and ran an entire country and did evil things, but we need to have the morality that the Bible puts in. We need to have Judeo-Christian principles that govern over our land and stop this from happening. So when I hear people say we need to get the Bible out of politics, what I'm really interpreting it being said is we know better than God how to rule over everything. We know better than God on everything. We can rule without God. We are gods ourselves. We rule without God. We don't need God. God, get out. And the problem is when you read in the Old Testament, when this takes place with the Jewish people and other nations, is God's wrath reigns upon them. Now, he sends prophets, he sends people to go over and speak to people or to nations like Jonah did with Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, but he went over there. And this was a prime example of what I would love to have happen, minus Jonah's hatred of Nineveh. He went to Nineveh and he said, you know, like I think it was like a four-word sermon. You know, 40 days, this city will be destroyed. because he hated the Ninevites. He wanted God to judge them. But the king on down repented, and God spared the city. Now, Nineveh, Jonah was very angry about this, and we won't go into discussion about that one. But what I would love to see is a Judeo-Christian principle being applied in America, where we don't have infant genocide, where they're sacrificing infants to Moloch, and where we have our leaders who are cheering this evil, and where people think that we can govern ourselves more effectively than God can. Because remember, every single time mankind has ever tried to govern, even if you try to govern your own life without God, it doesn't turn out great. You don't find peace, you don't find hope, you don't find, you know, when the storms come into your life, it's a horrible nightmare. But with Jesus, at least you can get through the storms. And it's difficult because you lament through it, but at least you still have the hope of Jesus Christ. And that's somewhere where we'll talk about that in the book of Psalms and Proverbs in another podcast. But that's what I'm seeing here, is our nation is falling more and more and more into the grasp of Satan, where we have these women and men who are not only seeing evil taking place, but are cheering and approving of those who don't do it. Again, Romans chapter 1, verse 32, which I'm just double checking here. Yeah, chapter 1, verse 32. I'll read it again. Although they knew God's righteous decree and those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but approve of those who practice them. So and let me put it on the side here too as well. I also saw many women, lots of women in there, who refused to stand and celebrate this. Men and women who refused to, that were disgusted to their core, inner core of what this was. God bless those people. I thank them for their service to our country and to go in an office and try to end this. And I appreciate the justices overturning Roe versus Wade. I wish every state would have leaders that would recognize human life as not a subjective political value, but as an objective reality that God created these children in the His image, and that murdering them, and that's what this is, regardless of how we want to twist and manipulate it and listen to Satan's lies of, oh, this is really choice, don't you want to have freedom? None of those things. Once we recognize that what is happening is truly evil, if we have people in leadership in all the states that say, we're not going to do this, we cannot allow abortion, and we need to start ministering to women who are going through this situation, we need to minister to them on so many levels to help them through this process. But ultimately, what I look at, and I go back to Joe Biden, is this man is worshiping Moloch. The left is worshiping Moloch, whether they recognize it or not. So I ask all my fellow believers out there, if you could, pray for our country, pray for our leaders, and pray for each other so that we can have strength to change our families, then to our communities, then to our counties and states, all the way up to the federal government, and usher in maybe another Jesus revolution, and that we could be like the people of Nineveh, that from the king all the way down to the peasants repented and God would restore us. Before I get going, I want to go ahead and remind everyone who has been listening to this to go ahead and like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you may be listening to podcasts. It helps this podcast get into the algorithm and so more people get to hear the word of God. So until next time, may God richly bless you all, my dearly beloved.